Well, good morning, church family. How are you doing this morning? Great, great. I just want to go on record that I really enjoy this Baltimore winter. Yeah, I like this. I hope it just extends to spring. Well, as you know, this is Vision Sunday. We've been announcing it, and it's been mentioned this morning, and I'm just so glad that you're here. You know, what is so special about Vision Sunday is that every year in January, we take one Sunday. And what we do is we have the opportunity to hear primarily from Pastor George about things that God has put in his heart for Trinity Life. And so we're going to be talking about some things, you know, that we're going to be involved with throughout the entire year, throughout the year 2020. And so, you know, if you have, you know, a notepad or something, please, I want to encourage you to take down some notes because the information that we're going to be covering in that, at least in my estimation, is really, really powerful information. Well, let me begin with a pop quiz, okay? I know right now you're probably on edge, pop quiz. I remember what pop quiz is like when I was in school, believe it, and I can actually remember when I was in school. But it's a three-part pop quiz, and the first question that I want to ask you is, what did you see on the first set of doors when you came in this morning? What were the words on the first set of doors when you came in this morning? Now let me help you out. It's just four words. And Pastor George is going to give you a hint. It's also on the prayer panel in the back. Would you say it with me? Marked by his presence. Just four words, very important words. And those four words constitute our theme for 2020. And if you are taking notes on that, you may want to write down Acts chapter 4, verse 13, because marked by his presence is rooted in that particular verse. And so what I want to do is I want to begin by asking Pastor George a little bit about how God, you know, developed that in, you know, in his heart. I remember sitting in the room and he was, you know, he said, I really kind of sense that that's our theme for the year. And so it's important that we hear, you know, how that developed and really what the substance and the content is associated with that.
Last year I had mentioned that if I'm not here on Sunday and if I'm in the States, I'm going to another church or, you know, visiting a church and had the opportunity to visit some churches. And one of the things that struck me, I was listening to people as they left the church service, and of course, same thing that goes on here, but I heard comments like this: oh, the pastor was, wasn't he so funny this morning? Or wasn't that music was great this morning? Or, you know, something like that. And it's okay to be funny. It's okay to have good music. All those things are wonderful. But I had this thought, what if people walked out of Trinity every Sunday and they said, wow, wasn't the presence of God thick this morning? Didn't I really sense God's presence? I felt like I could cut his presence with a knife. There was a pronounced presence. And so I go away changed. You know, I was thinking, John, between services, you know, I would sometimes say, you know, you can come to church week after week and be inoculated against the gospel. You can have heard it so many times it goes in one ear and out the other ear. I was thinking there's two great groups of people that when I hear that they have they're in legal trouble, it really makes me have some questions, and it's really heartbreaking. Two groups of people are police officers and those who work in the city jails or county jails, wherever they are across America. And sometimes you hear police officers who have been dealing drugs or they have been stealing, and they've been, like, of all people, they know what the penalty's like. And the people who are working security in the prisons and the jails, they know exactly what life is like the other side of the bars. How could they do what they did, knowing the penalty and being so close in? But you know, if you come to church and it's just perfunctory and it's just kind of a legalism, you just do this and you do that, and you're not really having a relationship with God, you can end up in the same kind of jail, can't you? You can just, like, you just come and it's just, okay, this is a routine, this is what I do, hopefully I'll get a blessing out of it, God will keep my car running, God will do whatever else, and you kind of hope for those things. But when you come and you have a real relationship with Jesus Christ and you experience his presence, then it dramatically transforms your life. In the Old Testament, you have Moses, and he's out there wandering his 40 years in the wilderness before he's wandering with the children of Israel. And what does he come across? A burning bush. And what does God say to him? Hint, take off those sandals, right? You're on holy ground. And he experienced the presence of God right there. It dramatically changed him and his calling, right? You go into the New Testament and you read in Acts 4 and you see the apostles, and they are being grilled by the politicians and by the religious leaders. And it says that they had knew them, that they had been, they recognized these men, that they had been with Jesus. Now, on one level, they had been physically with Jesus, but on a more important level, they knew the presence of Jesus was with them. They understood who they were. These weren't just people who were reciting something a rabbi had said. These are people who are now filled with the Holy Spirit and had been with Jesus. And so this is going to be our goal as we do sermon series, our next sermon series begins Sunday, this next Sunday, Treasures of the Heart, as we begin that in February. And then we're going to go to a sermon series pre-Easter, during most of the Lenten period, talking about the way of the cross and what that means to walk in the way of the cross. And then post-Easter, we're going to do a sermon series developing called Resurrection Power. And what does it mean to be on the other side? And all those things, we want you to experience the presence of God when you come in on a Sunday morning or you're in a Wednesday night class, wherever you are. Just, we want that pronounced presence of God here. And so that when people see us, they'll say, there's something different about us. When they ask why, we'd say, it's Jesus Christ, the presence of God in our lives, and we want them to experience that.
Yeah. You know, I appreciate what you said, George. When I thought about Mark by his presence, what resonated within me is internal transformation. And so when you and I have a real, authentic encounter with God, whether it's in church, whether it's during your time alone with God, when you and I have a personal encounter with God and we allow the Holy Spirit to bring his presence to bear in our life, there is internal transformation. And so when I think about being marked by his presence, as Pastor George mentioned, when I meet people, when I talk with people, particularly I think about people that I've known over the years, and they look at me and they say, wow, you're different, you've changed. That's what being marked by his presence is all about. So, this theme really resonates with me, and it's something that just marks my prayer time on a regular basis. All right, that was question mark, marked by his presence, our 2020 theme. The second question in our pop quiz is, what did you see on the second set of doors when you came in? If you came in on through the front doors, they're in the second set of doors. If you went over to the BAC, you're going to see it on both sets of doors, but what did you see on those sets of doors? Anybody? Mike, do you want to put it up on the screen?
Fingerprints? Smudge
fingerprints?
Marks?
Fingerprints? Yeah, words. Well, yes, they're words, but they're more than words. There are our core values. There are core values. And you may look at them and say, look, you have to turn your head sideways. You can, just turn sideways a little bit. They're more than words, and I remember when we were working through the process of coming up with our church core values, these values resonated real deeply with Pastor George, so I want to ask him just to share a little bit about these core values.
And these values came out of several years ago, a meeting with our pastors, elders, administrative board, a retreat, in-house retreat we had, and we were saying not who are we trying to be, but who are we, who has God called us to be? And so as you look at the core values, you can put those back up on the screen. These are the things that become our habits, our operating system. Everyone in your house, there's some operating system. In my house, I don't know, one of our core values is the house has to be vacuumed. Anybody else have a house like that? When you go to bed at night, everything has to be in the dishwasher. You know, those are kind of values that we have. Well, these are Trinity values. The first is the first value we have is the Bible. Where's the Bible? I don't see the Bible up there. This is only part of it. No, there's two screens,
well,
I think.
We've got it right here. It's right here.
But we believe that the Bible supersedes everything else. I think we heard it said, I think maybe Christopher Yuan said it on Sunday night a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about one of the churches, the United Methodist Church, that's voting to split over issues of gender, sexuality stuff, 53% staying with the Bible, 47% going the other way. And And I think it was Christopher that said, you know, that didn't just come about in the last year. That came about decades ago because they got away from the Bible as the rule for their church and as God's inerrant word. Eternity Life and the Assemblies of God, the fellowship that we're a part of, and the great missions movement around the world, the Bible is our basis for everything, okay? This is the rule and reign for us. If it's in God's word, we believe it. We're not going to add to and we're not going to take away, but we believe everything in the Bible, and that's where you'll hear me say sometimes, yes, we're sometimes called Pentecostals or Charismaniacs or other descriptions like that, but the real good definition is we are Bible-believing Christians. It's a better definition than evangelical or anything else. We are Bible-believing Christians, so we believe his word. The second value is redemption. We forgive quickly, we restore gently, and we give second chances regularly. And so we want to be a redemptive work. Redemption simply means that you maybe have a coupon and you're going to use it. You're redeeming that coupon. Somebody gave me some tickets to the boat show yesterday. They were free. I didn't have to pay $15, but I couldn't go. If I wanted to use them, I had to physically go to the boat show and went in there yesterday morning and said, here's my free tickets. By grace, I'm here. And so, except I had to pay $28 to park downtown, but I was able to get in to the boat show because somebody had given me, and thank God for the cross. Thank God for the ticket to eternity that Jesus Christ has given us, and it's up to us to redeem it and then to be redeeming one another and to say we're here for each other. We're not here to condemn, but we're here to redeem. Our third value is compassion. We give generously, locally, nationally, globally. Years ago, we were struggling with, boy, we give a lot of money around the world, but we don't do as much for Baltimore. And so we began to shift. In fact, we called it, there's a lot of churches using this theme this year, 2020 Vision. We used that theme several years ago because we wanted to say, we want to see clearly at a distance and we want to see clearly up front, right, close to us. So our reading ability and our kind of our driving ability. And so that's what we're trying to accomplish with compassion. And then authenticity. We will remain true to who we are in Jesus. Authenticity, it doesn't mean this is who I am, deal with it, and this is, no, our authenticity comes through who we are in Christ. Again, you heard Christopher Yuan talking about that. We're not identified by our gender. That's not the driving force. It's not our nationality. It's not our language. It's not any of those things. We are our driving forces. Where our identity comes in Christ, and so we're authentically followers of Jesus Christ. And then we use the word uniqueness. Yeah. We lead with an awareness of our collective diversity. Using that word diversity, we talked about it in a board meeting a few months ago. Someone who is newer to the board said, let's define that for us, Pastor. What are you talking about? Because some churches will have a rainbow out in front of their church, and it's not about the ark, and it's not about Noah, nothing like that. It's about, we believe everybody's just who they are. I was reading yesterday about an actress who says, you know, she sleeps with men, she sleeps with women, but she goes to a Bible study and she's come to Christ and that's the God she wants to serve. And I'm thinking like, okay, yeah, we can all create our own gods, but you know, or are we saying our uniquenesses in Christ and that changes everything else about us? So we have diversity, we have all of our backgrounds, but we lead with our uniqueness in Christ. And then honor, we respect, celebrate, and esteem those the Bible teaches us to honor. So hopefully we're doing that in our classrooms, with our children, with our youth. Hopefully they're understanding that. Hopefully we do that. Clarity, we strive to understand and to be understood. Didn't you enjoy Nikki last week as she was talking about racial reconciliation and just, you know, let's understand also, not just wanting to be understood. And finally, relationships, we intentionally invest in relationships. How many of you found in relationships it takes work, doesn't it? It takes an investment, it takes forgiveness, it takes all of those things. And so we are going to say, this is who we are as a church and a community of believers.
Great, thank you. Thank you. Pastor George was using a card, and this card has our vision, our mission, and our values. And if you don't have it, I want to encourage you to stop by the New Here area and pick one up. It's something that you can put in your Bible, and you can just, you know, it's a good reminder to pray for Trinity Life, that God would just accomplish his will within the heart with the framework of Trinity Life so that we can make a difference not only here as people come in these four walls, but also in Baltimore and around the world. Okay, two questions and our three-question pop quiz. The final one is, when you were in the lobby, what did you see on the overhead walls? You got it. Vision and mission. Is it up there? No, there it is.
Here we go.
Yeah, the lobby looked quite different, didn't it? Yeah, many thanks to Brian for making that happen. I want to ask Pastor George to share a little bit about our vision and mission because he was deeply involved in crafting these statements, and I know they mean a lot to him.
So our vision, one church, many expressions, serving Baltimore together. When we say many expressions, that's probably the big question. What does that mean? That means we have Chinese meeting right now. We have Spanish speakers meeting right now. We have children. We have youth. Tomorrow night we'll have Celebrate Recovery. We have all kinds of expressions of our body meeting together, and that we're serving Baltimore together. And so you can hear later about Convoy of Hope, and you'll see some of the in your bulletin some of the other ways that we're serving Baltimore together. And then we have our mission. We are a redemptive community. Hear that word, redeeming, again. That's a word that you'll hear from me quite often here, redeeming. We're a redemptive community, passionately committed to being and to making disciples. Jesus didn't go say, make converts. I just saw something recently about a pastor, pastors a church of about 3,000 people, I think, and said that in his ministry, I don't know, in the last, whatever, 10, 20 years, that 30,000 people have gotten saved. I'm fairly good with math, and I'm thinking, like, if 30,000 people got saved, where are the other 27,000? You know, and it's one thing, it's pretty easy to get people just to recite a prayer. It's another thing for them to be converted and become disciples. And Jesus said, go and make disciples. And so that's what we're about here. We're not just about, let's just pop a lot of big numbers and do things that are real attractive, and everybody's going to come. And some churches, and they're reaching people. It's just a different, their values are different. Every Sunday is like a party. Okay, let's have a party atmosphere every Sunday. I just didn't see Jesus and his disciples, you know, partying all the time. Discipleship takes work. The root is discipline, right? Discipline. If you're going to be a disciple, you're going to be a person of discipline, and you are to help make other disciples. We can't convert anybody. That's only the work of the Holy Spirit does conversion, true conversion. And then it's our job is to help to make disciples, baptizing, Jesus said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and going into all the world. So that's what we're about, being and making disciples.
Yeah, it's a phrase that you hear from us often, and as Pastor George has alluded to, making a disciple requires that we dig deep, that we go deep. And that's what we try to do. We create environments, Sunday morning, midweek, where we can go deep, and we allow the Holy Spirit to bring the change and the transformation to our lives. So when we think about our mission, I know we hear the word disciples, churches throw it around, leaders throw it around quite a bit, but I know that Pastor George has talked about, three key elements associated with being a healthy and growing disciple. I think it would be good to hear you just elaborate a little bit more about that.
Okay. You'll see on the screen three things that we talked about, began talking about them last year. First being daily devotions. Meaningful daily devotions will change your life. Stats, you've heard this a little bit from Christopher Yuan. I think Anthony Laycock talked about it a couple Wednesday nights ago. Let's just say with the issue of pornography, in the Bible-believing or evangelical, however you want to call it, world, statistics tell us that over 60% of men are struggling with pornography that are churchgoers, not non-churchgoers, not church. Just in church. You know, one of the biggest, easiest ways to deal with that and to get deliverance from that is to have a meaningful daily devotion. And surveys taken of men that have at least a 20-minute devotion every morning, a in-the-word devotion, spending time with God, them getting victory over pornography is like 90-some percent. There's something powerful about God's word. There's something powerful about being in his word. And men, I'm not here just to rag on men. How many of you know we all have problems? We all have sin issues, right? And we have those issues that we need to deal with. Probably the number one issue in America, the issue that fewest of us want to admit to, and it's probably preached about the least, is this: greed. Anybody besides the pastor deal with greed? All right, altar call for the rest of you right now. Would you bow your heads? Of course you deal with it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You think you deserve the nicer car. You think you deserve the raise. You think, and it's like, how deep is that in our culture? That is, our culture is a culture of greed. You watch television, you watch YouTube, and the ads are on all the time because you need a bigger this and a better that and a newer this and a newer that. And it just like that's, and when you get into God's word, helps you deal with those issues and the various issues that we have in life. So devotion, the second, and this is what we're talking about with all of our leaders, everyone who is serving here in Trinity. The second is community worship. It's important to be together as a church. The apostles tell us that in the New Testament, we find that we should be meeting more and more regularly, even as the last day is approaching, as we're coming into the last days. How many believe we're coming into the last days?
Yeah.
See what's going on in the Middle East. You see what's going on around the world. You see disease. You read what the scripture says about the earthquakes and famines and disease. You see Wuhan and what's going on. Who knows where that's going to end with all of that? And so it behooves us to not say, okay, we're just going to go to the beach every weekend or do whatever. We're going to come together as the body of Christ and be an influence in the world. And the third thing is stewardship. Stewardship meaning of your resources. We're going to talk about how you can be a steward of serving in a few minutes. Your resources, your finances, and yourself. How can you be a steward? And so Christ calls us to be stewards. What did he say of the one steward who had the one talent and who buried it? What did he call him? He called him a wicked, unfaithful servant. You thought I was a hard taskmaster, and he said, into eternal damnation. And what did he say to the other stewards who had taken their talents and used them for the kingdom? He blessed them, didn't he? They had taken a risk. They had made an investment, and God honored them for that. And God honors us when we take steps of obedience, let's say in tithing, when we're generous, when we give sacrificially. God sees all of those things, and then God can bless us as we do that. So we ask you just have a meaningful devotional life. One of the books, I mentioned this a few Sundays ago, you can still get into it. You still have 11 months and a few days. You can catch up in January. It's not lengthy, but this is a wonderful devotional book. It's entitled My Daily Pursuit. My Daily Pursuit. And it's writings of A.W. Tozer. Just reading. This fits in extremely well with our theme this year, marked by his presence. Tozer is a Holy Spirit guy. That's a good thing, isn't it, to be a Holy Spirit guy? He talks about the Holy Spirit throughout the devotional. So if you want to get it and read along with us, all of our staff members, from our facility crew, our administrators, to our pastors, or our board, or elders, this is the book that we're reading together tomorrow night. We have an elder meeting. The very first thing we'll do at the elder meeting as we begin the meeting is we'll read the devotion together and we'll discuss it together. And so we want to be that kind of a community who says we're into that and we're doing it together.
Great. Would you do me a favor and take out the Midweek at Trinity Life? It's an insert in your bulletin. Just take that out if you will. And I'm going to ask Pastor George to talk a little bit about the importance of making Wednesday evening a priority. Putting it on your calendar and say, hey, I'm going to be here. I'm not only going to come to church on Sunday morning and be a part of this community of faith, but I'm going to take another step and I'm going to be a part of a group, a class, and just allow God to use those opportunities to kind of grow me as a disciple.
Yeah, from children to youth to adults, so many opportunities to say, I'm gonna be that disciple. I'm gonna be being a disciple means you're a learner, means that you are growing in God's word, and to see life change and to make it a part of a consistent part of your life. My wife, where did she go? She was sitting over here. She's dealing with some of the same stuff I'm dealing with cough. She's probably watching in the prayer room, coughing spells. She teaches boys on Wednesday night in the Royal Rangers, 5, 6, 7-year-old boys, and she's been doing that for the last, here at Trinity, since we moved here 24 years ago, and it's fun to see. She'll have guys come up to her that are now 30 years old that give her a hug. She'll see teenagers in the hallway that are 12 years old, 17 years old. You got to come over and give me a hug, because she had them for 2 or 3 years in the Royal Ranger Group. And there's a connection. There is something that goes deeper than those 1 or 2 years. And sometimes I see parents that look at a Wednesday night program and say, oh, if we're available, we'll go to it. If not, we're going to do something else. Would you make it as important as sports in their life?
Yes, that's right.
Would you make it as important as school in their life? We have a lot of great leaders who are making wonderful investment of time. And for you to say, this isn't just, you know, well, we'll drop the kids off on Wednesday night and run them and get groceries while they're there and then come back and pick them up. No, you drop them off and then you go to a class and you say, this is who we are. This is part of our values. We value growing. And we have children, I guess, between the... all the children here this morning, probably 250, 300, with the students, middle school or high school on down, and they're learning God's word, and they're in a healthy environment, and they're with kids who are being raised by parents who have the same values, the biblical values that you have. It's an important part for us to grow together and be discipled together.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, I think we have probably the best lineup that's going to begin in February. And so I really want to encourage you to put it on your calendar and come out. Not only are there great groups and great classes and that you can be involved with, but the other thing that is important that we sometimes fail to talk about is the relational component. You know, we can't do life alone. We need to do life together. And so when you come out Wednesday evening and you get involved with a group or a class or, you know, whatever that may be, you're going to meet other people. They're going to be like you. They're going to be unlike you. But you're going to build relationships with other people. You're going to build friendships with other people. And to me, that's really important, because you never realize how important it is to have a relationship until you hit a rough patch in life. And then when you hit a rough patch in life, then you start looking around and you ask yourself, how many people can I actually go to, people that I know that I can do life together with, that really care about what's going on? And if you're not in that kind of an environment, then you're going to be walking through something, and it's going to be far more intense and far more difficult. Let's do life together, and Wednesday evening gives us that opportunity to do that. All right, now I know that your bulletin is filled with inserts. We did that on purpose. But I'm going to ask you now to take out another insert. It's entitled Kingdom Builders 2020. And then on the flip side, it has Trinity Life 2020 Save the Dates. And Pastor George is going to talk a little bit about this.
So Kingdom Builders, we're going to actually talk about this in 3 weeks in a little bit more detail, and what we've accomplished last year, and how I'll have the final details on that. We're somewhere in the neighborhood financially of about $350,000 to $400,000 going out these doors between trips and between all the missionaries and the projects that we're supporting. Just recently in December, as you gave for Bibles for Vietnam, the full life study Bibles for the church leaders there, we were able to send a check in to purchase 1,500 of those Bibles. So it'll be 1,500 church leaders, $15,000 that you gave. I just want to thank you for that. In fact, in December, we had some problems with with delivery of something that I was sending out, this Kingdom Builders Vietnam Cambodia 2019. This was being mailed out to you as a thank you for giving to Kingdom Builders in 2019. And a lot of people didn't get it. A lot of them were whatever lost in the mail. And then we had asked for an extra supply of those, and the extra supply, the shipping company just mutilated them beyond kind of usefulness, and we just had to get them reprinted. They just were delivered to us on Thursday, and so these are on the back table in this booklet. It's just a little reminder of what we were able to give to in 2019 in Vietnam and Cambodia, and so I have some photos from the trip that I took there, and just want to say to you, thank you. Something you can, I don't know, put on your coffee table, maybe you take it to the office, put it on your desk or somewhere that you work, and other people say, well, what's that? And you can explain right to them what your church is doing, what we've done as a church in making a difference in Vietnam and Cambodia. On the insert that you have for 2020, you see the opportunities. These are not the only opportunities. We will have some other opportunities, let's say similar to last year. Last year we went down to Bethel Farms in Baltimore City a couple of times and helped them, and there will be some other ministries that we help on a smaller scale. But these are more of like all church events that we have for Kingdom Builders. So you see Baltimore, you see our teams that are going to Chicago, Argentina, Uruguay, Israel, Rwanda, Uganda. Just about all these teams are filled. Sam, do you have room on your team? Which one? That's the Rwanda, Uganda team. I think that may be the only. What about Israel? Maybe two people for Israel and then a few people for Rwanda. So if you would like to join us on one of those teams, please respond ASAP, and we'll get you involved and tell you how you can get involved with that. Also on the other side, just a real quick reference to some of our major events here. These are especially evangelistic events, inviting your family or friends. That doesn't mean you can't invite them next week or the next week. We should always be open to inviting people. But some of the things that we would say to you as you're planning your 2020 calendar yourself, the weekends you're going to go to Ocean City or to the mountains or wherever you're going to go, would you just say, you know, I'm going to make these priorities on my calendar. Help us serving. Help us in making this an attractive place as people come through our doors for these special services.
Yeah, I just want to echo what Pastor George mentioned. They're great opportunities for you and me as we make a list of people that God's brought into our life, because God brings people into our life on purpose and for a purpose, and that purpose may be simply to reach out to them and extend an invitation. You know, we need to be doing that on a regular basis. Every Sunday morning, we need to be inviting people, people who are far from God, people who don't have a real, authentic relationship with Christ. But the events on the that listed on the save the date insert, you know, those are big things, big events, and it makes it really easy for you to reach out and say, hey, would you join me at church? It's but you've got to make sure that you invite them to come with you and you meet them at church, and it'll be an incredible experience for them. Now we're going to transition into something, and we're going to talk a little bit about something that has been a dream of Pastor George's for quite some time. So before he talks about it, what I want to do is I want to ask you to look at the screens, because we have a short clip that will introduce you to something that he'll share with you about.
Hey, church. What if I told you on average you touch your phone about 2,600 times a day? It's true. We use our phones and screens to communicate, entertain ourselves, and to share photos of our food. What if our phones gave us the power to make an immediate impact? See, we believe that every person is gifted with a unique way to live out God's calling in their life. Maybe you have the gift of hospitality. Maybe you're great with tools or teaching kids. Or perhaps you're more of a behind-the-scenes kind of person. Whatever your gift is, we want to show you exactly how you can make an impact right here in our church and in our community. That's why we're proud to announce a special resource on your phone called Vomo. With Vomo, you can be connected to any of our ministry opportunities in just 3 clicks. And the more you serve, the more your volunteer resume grows with you. And you can even earn rewards like ebooks and gift cards. Be on the lookout for an email invitation from our church to get started serving and making your unique impact today.
So in your bulletin, you have this green insert with Vomo information on it. When Pastor John mentioned a dream of mine, this is not something that we've created as a church, but over the years I've talked to consultants that have come through, some other people said, is there a way people in church, if somebody came up with a way we could network with ministries that, and charities that are in our city, and people could go on their own instead of us having to plan a Saturday that everybody goes down together or a Thursday night that everybody goes together? What about the individual who says, I'm retired, and hey, on Thursdays I can donate my time or my afternoon? Or maybe the parent that says, school's off today for whatever teacher day, I want to take my kids and I want to get them involved in serving, and I want that value to be part of who we are as a family. Is there a way that we can do that? Well, with Vomo, this is a software package that allows us to network with charities and non-religious organizations in Baltimore. And so at this initial rollout of it, it's not as robust as we foresee it becoming in the next year or two. But right now we're partnering with City Reach. That was, for some of you, you may remember that as West Side Assembly of God. And we're also partnering with Highland Community. It used to be Highland Assembly of God and Teen Challenge in the Highland Town area. And so they are putting up when they need help. And so they have feeding on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and say, we could use some cooks, or we could use some servers. We need you here at 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock, whatever. You can go on the app, and you can see all of those things listed. You can also see listed here at Trinity if you want to help with ushering or hospitality, you want to help with facilities, you want to help with some of the other events that we have coming up. You're going to begin to see that populated. You can go on and say, hey, I'll give you these 3 hours, or I'll serve those 5 hours. And then one of the neat things that it does, you saw on the screen, it builds a resume of how much you've worked, where you've served. And this is extremely important for our high schoolers. As high schoolers are applying to colleges, in today's culture, a lot of colleges are saying, well, what kind of community service have you done? And so with this program, if they've gone down with Run Students and helped at Bethel Farms, if they've done other outreaches, all those things are going to be populated, and they can just email it or whatever, print it out, and it's right there for them. And then as adults, it quantifies how much we're serving our city and how much we're serving in our church. The government says that if you are serving, the value of you serving an hour, if you go down to help the Red Cross or you go down to help Highland Community, your value for serving is somewhere in the neighborhood of $26, if I remember correctly. And so it will quantify that. At the end of the year, if we've had 1,000 hours of service, how much value is that to the city of Baltimore? Come on, mathematicians, $26,000, right? If 26 times 1,000. And so, you know, it begins to quantify it for us as a church. And our hope is that we're able to connect with more ministries downtown and in the surrounding area, and opportunities for you to volunteer. Now, one of the things that we really like about VOMO is that some of the opportunities to volunteer require background checks. So if you're going to volunteer for a day and there are children that are involved and you're an adult, you have to have a background check, just like we do here at the church. Everybody who works from youth ministry to children's ministry, everybody who works where children are around has gone through a background check. And so that screening we offer here at the church, but with VOMO, you don't even have to come into the church office or call us. Right in the app itself, you can get a background check done, and so that goes in your profile so that when you're going to serve in a school or you're going to serve in a ministry where children are, that's already taken care of. So I want you to download the program. Let me just say up front, there's a, you know, with the software packages, it's like Windows or like the Mac OS X. How many iterations of it have they gone through before it's okay, it's getting more and more refined. There's still some glitches. Well, VOMO is like version 1.0. As I was looking through it this week and it's like, okay, how do I get back there? Okay, let me restart it so I can get back to the beginning. So you might have a little bit of a challenge with that, but that's just part of it being brand new, but we invite you to go on and see what ways you can get involved and serve and be a blessing to the ministries that we connect with downtown, and also a blessing right here on the campus.
Yeah. Okay. You know, when I think about VOMO, VOMO is basically a tool to help us in our serving. You know, and as Pastor George mentioned, you know, one of the qualities associated with being a healthy and growing disciple is that we're serving. You know, God has deposited gifts and talents in our lives, and he wants us to use them. He wants us to reach out and to use our gifts and our talents so that we can help other people, help other ministries. And VOMO is just a way to facilitate that. So I encourage you to make sure that you get the information. In fact, Glenda Hamby, Glenda, are you here? Yeah, there she is, way in the back. Just wave your hand, there, both hands. You know, Glenda Hamby has helped make this thing a reality here, and I just thank you so much, Glenda. And what she did is she put together an email, and that email went out this morning, and I said, you should have an email in your inbox, or maybe you'll have to check your trash, your spam, or your junk mail, whatever the case may be, but make sure that you grab that email, because that email is an invitation for you to join VOMO at Trinity Life. So again, just don't put it aside. It's a great opportunity for us to be involved in serving. Now, another transition we're going to make, and this is something I remember. You know, Pastor George and I, probably 2 or 3 years ago, were talking about, you know, having Bible courses on campus that would help facilitate people being credentialed, and also would help facilitate adult enrichment. you know, we do our best Wednesday evenings, but the kind of classes that we're talking about go just a little bit deeper. Well, there is something that is developed that we call Antioch College, and he's going to share a little bit about Antioch College.
So last year we talked about having Bible courses here that you could get credentials with the Assemblies of God. And so we began an initial class with Global University. Global University is the online presence of the Assemblies of God. It may be the largest online college in the world. For example, in Vietnam, I don't know if I'd mentioned these Vietnam booklets are available in the back as you head out, but in Vietnam, there are over 100,000 students in Vietnam alone, and around the world in about 60 nations, Global University exists. Now, our challenge with Global University is Global University is like adult enrichment. You can use it to get credentials, but there are no credits that would transfer to an accredited college. So what has just kind of dropped into our laps in about the last 90 days is the Assemblies of God. The Assemblies of God, we're part of what we call the Potomac District. The Potomac District is all of Maryland, most of Virginia, a little bit of north and east West Virginia and the District of Columbia, through about 350 churches. Our district has just brought under its umbrella an existing college that was fully accredited. And so what we are going to do is we are going to be a partner site. There are about five churches in the states or in the district that will be a partner site. And this coming September, we're going to offer fully accredited Bible college courses here at the church. And so if you're going for credentials, if you're going just to say, you know, you say, well, Pastor, talk to me about credentials for a minute. Okay, good question. Here's with credentials in the Assemblies of God, we have three levels. We have the credentialing, the basic credentialing level, and then we have a license, and then we have an ordination. Generally, with ordination, it's about people who feel a full-time vocational call to ministry. Hopefully, everybody here is involved in ministry at some level, but then you have license, and you have this credentialing, and you may have certain organization, let's say that you want to be a part of a ministry in a nursing home, or let's say something more formal. Maybe you're going to the jail or to the prison, and you want to go in and minister. They will ask you, "Well, who's credentialing you?" Well, I credentialed myself. Well, that's not enough. You have to be validated by somebody, some group, some organization. And this is one of the ways. If you say, "Okay, I'd like it for that," that's great. If you say, "Well, I would just like to have those courses and I'd like to take it at that level," you'll be able to do that. Or if you'd like to seek ordination, there'll be enough courses over a handful of years that you'll be able to be ordained in the Assemblies of God. And these courses will involve internships here at the church. They will go beyond our church. So in the coming year, you'll see students who are here, who are interning here. They could be college age or they could be older than that, but they're coming to our campus as a partner campus for Antioch College. So look for the launch of that. A lot of the information, you know, we don't have it printed yet, but this September we'll be launching Antioch College at Trinity Life.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. Well, now we're going to talk about Convoy of Hope. How many of you have heard of Convoy of Hope? You know, we have partnered with them for many, many years, and God is using this organization in just powerful ways around the world. And I want to invite Anthony to come up because he's going to share about something involving Convoy of Hope coming to Baltimore.
Now, you're wondering what's happening to your students over there since he's left the room. It's pandemonium over there, so hopefully the building will still be standing that Anthony's with us.
I gave him crayons and just told him to draw for a little bit.
Okay, good.
On the walls.
No, we actually, in our student service today, it's a Wintern Day. It's our student interns who are all preaching this morning on the fruits of the Spirit. So student-led service, and it's really exciting with our leader team over there. You know what's really exciting is this morning. Dreams about 2020 and strategy to make those dreams happen. None of it comes together without a lot of faith from us. We're going to talk about this really, really cool thing that's coming in May 2020. Would you turn your attention to the screens and watch this video?
Every life is made up of moments. Some are commonplace and others are powerful. Together, they will change everything that follows. Your community event will be filled with life-changing moments. Who is to say that a haircut, a health screening, a job application, a chance to play, a family portrait, a listening ear, or a bag of groceries are only what they appear to be. For those searching for hope, they become much more. For your guests, the combination of these services has the power to change the course of a life, to bring hope where it has been lost. One thing we know, a moment is made when you connect with those you serve, when a veteran receives benefits they deserve, when a family gets to forget their troubles for an hour. Unbelievable things will happen. Love will wash away hopelessness, and kindness will bring life into you, your guests, your neighborhoods, and your city.
Praise God. Convoy of Hope is a partner we love at Trinity. We have partnered with them for a bunch of stuff. Disaster relief and crisis response around the world. They do feeding programs every day. They feed millions of people. They do things like helping women start small businesses. They help women learn to be educated and also receive agricultural skills in developing countries. And in the United States, Convoy does something really cool. In the largest 50 cities in America, they put on something called community events. These are huge mega outreaches. We call it like a fair of care, right? So that festival style, large scale event in a city that unites the city, brings Bible believing churches together and organizations, and just tons of believers coming together to see immediate impact and lasting impact happen in a community. Now, what does that mean? Immediate impact being things like free shoes for kids, 2 to 3 bags of groceries per adult, things like free haircuts and family portraits in about 20 different areas of care that you saw in this video. Now, someone might come for that, but they might leave with legal services and an immigration lawyer. They might come for a free health screening, but leave with a plan and a program to overcome their drug addiction. Maybe they come for a hot meal, but they leave having built and sent a resume. So it's a really cool way to see a big impact happen in the lives of people in need. You know, in Baltimore, we have a unique privilege. Every time you go around a corner in Baltimore, you find someone who's hurting, who needs the truth of God's word and the love of God expressed to them. When we see God, when we get to heaven and we look the Lord in the eye, I don't believe he's going to ask believers from Nova Scotia and Albuquerque in Malaysia, hey, what did you do about Baltimore? I was hurting in Baltimore. I was naked and sick and hungry in Baltimore. What did you do for me? He's going to ask us that, right? Yeah. Right, church? Yep. That's our unique privilege, our response to God, our responsibility is to witness. Others' responsibility is faith. And God's responsibility is conversion. It's going to be an awesome day. We're going to launch volunteer stuff and giving stuff for that in a few weeks. You'll hear a lot more about it. But today, mark your calendar, May 16th. It's a Saturday, 2020. It's going to be a great time.
So Anthony is serving as the head of this under Convoy of Hope for Baltimore. This is much larger than Trinity Life. We are the leading church with it, but we have about how many other churches?
About 40 in Baltimore City, Baltimore County right now who are partnering with us.
That have already enlisted. We're going to need about how many volunteers?
About 1,000 to reach maybe 7,500 guests that day at Patterson Park.
And so with that, it will start. You're going to hear, Anthony's going to talk about it in a little bit more detail in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Friday night, there will be a gathering, probably here, of getting everybody ready who is going to serve. And then we'll go down and serve on that Saturday. Now, that Saturday is Preakness Saturday. That happens much later in the day, but we're aware of that. I know some people say, well, Pastor, that you'll be kind and tell me that, but we're aware of that. We're working with a national organization that can only do so many Convoy of Hopes on a given weekend, and so working with their schedule. But we're just anticipating those churches in Patterson Park area, the people who are coming through are going to be then given information about those local churches. So this isn't just, let's just go drop a bunch of food in the middle of Baltimore and just help people out. This is a holistic approach, an organic approach, and new relationships are being built with those churches and with the county churches between the city and the county.
Can I mention one other thing, Pastor
Sure.
George? I was with six churches on Thursday night at a meeting down right around Patterson Park, meeting with churches in those neighborhoods. And one of the pastors we were meeting with, and they were coming on board to partner with us to make this happen, they asked me, why is Trinity seeking to bring this in? Convoy's been here four times between 2000 and 2010, but hasn't brought this large-scale $1 million worth of goods and services into a city for 10 years. Why is Trinity kind of stepping out, sacrificing to lead the way with this? Because a lot of these folks aren't going to come to our church. They're not from our community. They're from the city. And why is Trinity doing that? We said, to build the kingdom. Of course, to build the kingdom, because it's not about us, it's about the kingdom. In that day, as Pastor George just touched on it, I was driving Uber for a couple years, and I worked the Preakness a couple times. And I would just say that that's a day in our city where the curse of sin and brokenness is on display in a lot of ways. Drunkenness and a lot of rough stuff in that area. But this year, we believe it's going to be a day where the blessing of God is on display, and we're excited about that.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, that was good. You know, as we reach into the city, 20 to 30 years ago in the 1990s, there was a particular church that we were trying to establish on the west side of Baltimore, and it went through a series of difficulties and finally ended up closing its doors. It was several years later that one of our staff pastors was back in that area for a funeral. And at that funeral, there was a city council person that was there. And they asked the staff pastor that was there, who are you? Where are you from? And it was not familiar with this staff member. And the staff member said, I'm Pastor so-and-so, and I'm from Trinity Life in Lutherville. And this was the response from the city council person. City council person said, oh, you're from that church that tried to establish a work here, and I won't mention the part of town. We made sure that didn't happen.
Well, yeah.
I was like, we weren't gaining anything by that. It's just like Convoy of Hope. We were just trying, and we had held a Convoy of Hope in that area, and we were just trying to go down there and help that part of town, which is one of the roughest parts of the city right now. And you have political powers. You have religious powers in Baltimore City that, just real frank, just to let you know, in talking with people who are trying to make a difference in the city, there are too many people in the city who like it just as it is, because it gives them control and power and authority.
That's right.
But we are believing that we're going to go into the city, and there's another control, another power, another authority that can come and break the powers of darkness and break the powers of people who just want to be in power. We want King Jesus to be in power in Baltimore City, Baltimore County, and all the surrounding counties. So that's what we're working for. There's nothing for us to gain. Anthony's putting in tons of work. We're going to be beyond dollars. The budget for it is about $70,000. We've had some partner churches that are already jumping on the bandwagon, helping us with the finances. I mean, we're going to get no return for that. We're not going to start running buses to Patterson Park to bring people out. That's not what this is about. This is about establishing the kingdom of God as kingdom builders in Baltimore City. So it's going to be a great day. We're looking forward to that.
Yeah, great. Okay. Well, Pastor George, thank you for sharing your heart and your vision with us as we are just about ready to touch home plate. Do you have any closing thoughts?
Closing thought. When we think about vision, and I know this is, it's a different Sunday when we're not coming in and with a regular sermon. We'll be getting a sermon series next week, Treasures of the Heart, for the month of February. And then pre-Easter, we're going to talk about the way of the cross and talk about resurrection power after that. But as we plan these things out, I'm reminded of one of my heroes in the Bible, a hero that wasn't a priest, that wasn't a prophet, that wasn't a king, but a hero who made a tremendous difference, and his name was Nehemiah. Remember the story of Nehemiah. Now he's serving as the cupbearer to the king, and he hears from his brothers how bad things are back in Jerusalem, how the walls are torn down, the priesthood is non-existent, the enemy is coming in, the Jerusalem is being overrun by jackals, and it's just a horrible situation. And he fasted and he prayed, and at just the right time got favor with the king, and he went back. And what did he go back? He didn't go back and just say, hey, I'm Nehemiah and I'm here, I'm going to fix things. He rode around the wall at night, right, by himself. He didn't tell anybody else. He just wanted to see what needed to be done. And then God gave him a plan. And when God gave him a plan, think of all the people that are there who had not lifted a finger to rebuild the wall. All of a sudden, they learned that if I rebuild my part of the wall, and the Smiths rebuild their part of the wall, and the Samanskys rebuild their part of the wall, and the Radwanos build part, we can have a defense again. It can be safe for our kids again. And so he began to explain that. He had to deal with Sanballat and Tobiah. Remember the enemy that wanted to come down? At one point, they were trying to get him out of leadership. And at one point, he says, no, I'm not coming down. This work must be carried on. And as he fulfilled that work, the wall was rebuilt. The people rejoiced. They took pride again. And there was a sense of community again. And what was all that about? They went, and the priest pulled out the scroll that had not been read, the Old Testament that had not been read for decades. The Bible was pulled out, and it says in Nehemiah that people stood all day from sun up to sundown to listen to God's word, which they had not heard for decades. And then the spiritual life came to be. So as we think about Vision Sunday, this is just about us just explaining. We've been working on this. And if we each do our part, if we're all serving, we're all doing daily devotions, we're all worshiping together, how many of you know God can accomplish more with all of us together than he can with each one of us trying to do our own thing? Yeah. And so it's just a Nehemiah day where we say we can do this. And why is it? Because we want Jesus Christ to be honored. We want his presence to be sensed in this place. We want it to be sensed here and in Trinidad and Emmanuel and with Run students and with the children across this campus. And to this be a dynamic place where people come and they say, if you go to that church, you're going to experience the presence of God. Amen. If you go to that church, you're going to experience the presence of God. Yeah. It may not be the funniest church or the funnest church. It may not be this or it may not be that, but the presence of God is there. And that's what we're seeking.
Well, I'm going to invite the worship team to join us on the platform, and I'm going to ask Pastor George if he would close us. Thank you again.
Father, we know that we can make our plans, but it's your purposes that prevail. In a process like this, or a process of raising our families, or leading our businesses, or whatever you have called us to, we don't want those things to be different. We don't want our purposes, our plans to be different than your purposes. But we pray that our plans and your purposes are two rails to the same railroad track. And so, Lord, we invite you to help us, to encourage each one of us, to help us to be diligent, to seek our place, to say, boy, this is going to take some work. This is going to take some extra time. This is going to take some extra effort. This is going to be maybe a change of my schedule. But, God, I'm going to do it not only to bless the community, but to walk in obedience and to experience your presence in my life. Lord, I know in this congregation, you know, the vast majority, that's what we want. We're not just here as bystanders. We want to be participants in what you're doing. So, Lord, I just ask that you would give leadership to Holy Spirit. Speak to us. Holy Spirit, speak to us individually. Give us sensitivity when we hear opportunities or when we go on VOMO to say, okay, yeah, I can do this. Lord, as we do that, we want your kingdom to grow and your purposes to prevail. Father, we pray for the offering that we're about to give in, giving together, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for the people who are obedient with tithe and bringing sacrificial offerings and generous offerings so that your kingdom can be advanced. Give us wisdom in financial matters and give us favor. Lord, give your people favor, Lord, as they supply the needs of your kingdom. Supply every one of their needs. I pray these things in Jesus' name for his honor and his glory. Amen.